Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
Jim Garrity still sailing the Caribbean on the National Review cruise. Daniel Foster, news editor for National Review Online, is here in his place. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Dan, it's good to have you back. Good news, bad news, crazy news for conservatives as always. The good news ever since last Tuesday just seems a little bit harder to find. I don't know if you find that same problem that I do, but
seem to have misplaced my rose-colored sunglasses.
The good martini today is a little bit inside baseball, but yeah, after every congressional election, there's a reorganizational period. You pick your leaders, and if there's been a switch in party control of a chamber, obviously that's a pretty intriguing time. That didn't happen in either the House or the Senate, but nonetheless, there will still be leadership elections. No one's expecting that John Boehner won't be the Speaker of the House next year, but he's not necessarily getting a free ride on all of his top lieutenants. Tom Price, who was the policy committee chairman in this Congress, is now running for conference chair, which is the number four position if you're in the majority. John Boehner does not want Tom Price to be there, but Paul Ryan does. And Paul Ryan, since he's not only the budget committee chairman, but the most recent vice presidential nominee, carries a whole lot of weight. And so I know Jeb Hensarling was the current conference chairman. I'm not sure the big differences between the two candidates. But what I really like here, Dan, is the fact that Paul Ryan is embracing his role as a major leader within the party.
Yeah, and it's going to be kind of his to make or break. I think that's going to be one of the interesting things to watch for the next couple of years is how does Ryan settle back into the House, his role as chair of the budget committee, and as you put it, a leader of the Republican Party, de facto, if not in actual title or formal role in the House of Representatives. How does he ease into this position? How does he flex his muscles? Does he have muscles to flex? I mean, a lot of this is perception. I think Paul Ryan is still a star and an important voice in the party, but there's a little tarnish that comes with being on a losing ticket. And you're right on the merits of the battle. I think Hensarling's a solid guy. Price is too. They're both pros, and we often think that's a negative thing when it comes to being in Washington because they've both been around for a while. They're both professional legislators. They know the ins and outs of the House. They know their way around the Hill. And I think it's important, as I've been saying for a couple of years since 2010, that we have a balance between some of the Tea Party enthusiasm. There's not many of those Tea Party freshmen left, unfortunately. A lot of them are gone already. But it's important that we have that, and we have a real small government insurgent force, but it's balanced with guys, frankly, know how things work and know how to get things done. So it'll be interesting to watch little fights like this, but it's important that everybody come out unified.
Yeah, it's obvious that Boehner is probably not expecting too many challenges, given the fact that Republicans maintain control, but if in fact he ends up giving more ground than a lot of conservatives would like when it comes to this fiscal cliff debate and many of the other fiscal debates to follow, he could be vulnerable in terms of having the highest position within the party. We'll find out what happens here down the road. But as of right now, a little bit of a squabble inside the Republican leadership elections up on Capitol Hill. On to number two here now in the bad martini. And if it weren't for the colossal mess over at the CIA, this probably would have been the bad martini yesterday, Dan. But Bill Kristol on Fox News Sunday, we just mentioned how many people fear Boehner might give away too much. Bill Kristol's not even mincing words here. He just says, well, it's not really a hill to die on. You know, this whole thing we've been battling over for 4 years, just give Obama what he wants. It's not that big of a problem.
The leadership in the Republican Party and the leadership in the conservative movement has to pull back. Let people float new ideas. Let's have a serious debate. Don't scream and yell when one person says, you know what, it won't kill the country if we raise taxes a little bit on millionaires. I really won't, I don't think. I don't really understand why Republicans don't take Obama's offer to freeze taxes for everyone below $250,000, make it $500,000, make it a million. Really, the Republican Party is going to fall on its sword to defend a bunch of millionaires, half of whom voted Democratic?
Gee, Dan, I don't know. Maybe it's because they believe it would be bad for the country.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think I think Bill Kristol is a smart guy, and I think he's wrong on the merits here. I think he's got a theory, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think he tends to operate on the assumption that the best thing for the country is the rule of the Republican Party. And I think sometimes you can say you can lose sight of the fact that if you get out to a Republican majority without small government conservative ideas, well, it's kind of a Pyrrhic victory. and it can be just as bad for the future of the country as Democratic rule. So I think that's the theory he's operating on. And I also happen not to agree with him on the merits of the case. I don't think that there's much to be gained at all, even tactically, by the Republicans taking Obama's deal. It's not as if the country will stand on its feet and applaud the Republicans and give them credit for any deal that's done. You can bet your butt that the White House and the Democrats aren't going to let credit be shared too widely for any deal that comes out in their favor. So I think he's wrong on the merits, and I think he's wrong strategically about, you know, the way forward for causes that, you know, both Bill Kristol and you and I all care about. So I just disagree with him.
Yeah, certainly true. And I think there's probably a strategy there that if this does go forward, then 2 years now, 4 years from now, whatever it is, the American people will see, well, we tried exactly what the Democrats wanted, and it didn't work, and that'll mean people will line up more on the Republican side of the argument.
That's my evil plan, actually, as I put it. As I put it, I think we should beta test liberalism. We should give Bernie Sanders the tax rates that he wants, and we should let all the tax cuts expire. give it to him good and hard, and see where the country is in a couple of years, and then we'll be poised for return.
The only problem with that strategy is we kind of did that the first 2 years of the Obama administration, and he still got reelected. So I'm not quite sure that we'd actually get the results we would want after that. But
optimism, Greg.
That's right. That's right. Well, somebody found his sunglasses. Anyway, on to martini number three now. And Petraeus was the bad martini yesterday. It's the crazy martini today because this story just keeps getting weirder. You now have an FBI raid of Paula Broadwell's home. You now have Paula Broadwell's dad saying this is just a huge smokescreen for something far worse. I don't know if he's referring to Benghazi or what have you. Now, in addition to all the other things, the top general in Afghanistan, General Allen, is now the target of investigation because of emails he sent to the woman, Jill Kelly, who first reported Paula Broadwell as an anonymous person to the FBI. So 20 to 30,000 pages of emails that could potentially be inappropriate. I know there's a lot of folks that are involved with work over at Central Command down in Tampa, Dan, but it's getting a little too cozy.
Another little juicy tidbit that, you know, this just keeps getting weirder and weirder. In the Journal, Wall Street Journal today, they had the detail that the FBI agent that Kelly went to with the story initially has apparently been emailing shirtless photos to her. So this is just a weird and bizarre look into the social lives of our, you know, national security structure. And I think Josh Trevino had a great line on this on Twitter just now. He said, Modern Warfare 4, the video game, is going to include an entire level where you're emailing married women. that's the future of the military and the military-industrial complex in this country. I think this thing is just going to get weirder and weirder. If the last couple days are any indication, there's going to be big investigations. We're going to get to see some really fun congressional testimony, I hope. But I hope that not lost in all of this is some of the more serious stuff, like Benghazi. And I hope, for instance, that Petraeus will go and testify before Congress as he planned to do.
I didn't realize that congressman from New York got a job with the FBI. Remember the guy that had to resign because he...
Anthony Weiner, yeah.
Well, not him, the Republican... Well, him too, but the Republican guy who took his shirt off.
The fact that you have to differentiate between members of Congress from New York who took their shirts off and email people pictures. That tells you all you need to know about American politics. Okay. I'll talk to you tomorrow, Greg.
Sounds good. See you, Dan. Daniel Foster is the news editor at National Review Online, in for Jim Garrity all week. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for being with us, and join us again on Wednesday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.